Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Also, if you have never filled out one of those communication cards that's in your worship guide, we don't have your information. Please do so and get it to me after service, since it's a little late now to get it in the offering basket. But we would love to get information about you. We have an email mailing list that we send out prayer requests on and information about upcoming events, and we'd love to get you on that. Also, you know, I like to pray for people, and so every once in a while I'll send out emails to people saying, I'm praying for you. Is there anything specific that I can pray with you for? And some of you have gotten those emails from me in the past. I love praying for you guys. So, you know, if I have your email address, it makes it very easy for me to just ask you what I can be praying for, you know. So fill that out and get it to me after service. I'd love to get your information and get you on that list. All right. Couple things before we get started here. Last Sunday, I was out of town. I was on vacation with my family. Had a nice, relaxing time up in San Francisco area and Sacramento, visiting some family. It was a really, really great time. But Debbie Guthrie was also out of town that Sunday, and it was her birthday. And so I want to recognize that. And Debbie, happy birthday last week. And Austin's birthday is tomorrow, our drummer. So happy birthday, guys. Should we do our song?
Yeah.
Should we sing a song? All right, here we go. Let's start clapping. This is your birthday song. It isn't very long. It never gets old, does it? I love it.
Yes,
yes it does. All right. Also, I wanted to give you guys an update on, I told you a couple of weeks ago that we were looking at a building, looking at a facility, so that we wouldn't have to meet in a school and set up and tear down every week, and a place that would be ours 24/7, where youth group can meet on Wednesday or Thursday nights, and where you know, Bible studies can meet, and prayer groups and things like that. We are looking at a place, the Walgreens Shopping Center, about 10 minutes south of here, on the corner of Rancho Vistoso and Oracle Road. Great location. So be praying for that, if you will. We're negotiating with the landlord there, trying to work out the details, trying to figure out how much space we're going to take to start with, and all that. So our church council is actually going to be meeting this afternoon to talk over some of those options. And so you can be praying for that meeting too, that we would have wisdom for that. So we are pursuing a building, great location, great space, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm just praying that God works out those details, you know, because that's what it's going to take. All right. I sent out an email earlier this week saying that we were going to be starting a new series this Sunday. I got an email towards the end of last week from our Foursquare district, who I report to. Our church is a Foursquare church, and so our district sent me an email saying that Foursquare Church International is International Church of the Foursquare Gospel is partnering with a group called Awakening America on a campaign called Cry Out America. And they laid this whole thing out. Great, great campaign, great idea. But they said, you know, it's 10 weeks leading up to the 10th anniversary of September 11th, which is coming up here in a couple of months. And they said, you know, it should start on Sunday, July 4th, Independence Day. I got this email on July 9th, so I'm not sure how they expected us to work that out. Prophecies was supposed to come to me and tell me we were going to do this. So I thought it was a great idea nonetheless, and so I've been preparing for this while I've been away on vacation. I've been kind of getting ready for this so that when I got back here starting this Sunday, we can have an 8-week campaign leading up to the 10-year anniversary of September 11th. And it's called Cry Out America. And I'm really excited about this. I think it's important for us to be involved in our community and in our government and to be praying for our leaders and to be trying to influence our leaders in how they lay down those laws. And I think this is a critical thing. There's basically going to be, during these 8 weeks of this campaign, we're going to be praying. It's going to be a lot of prayer involved. Next week, I'm going to have some prayer guides to hand out to you so that you can be praying in a certain direction each week. So you'll be getting those next week. We're going to be targeting these sermons over the next 8 weeks toward this campaign. There should be gatherings with other churches in the area that are doing the same campaign leading up to September 11th, in that week basically right before September 11th. Some multi-church gatherings. We're basically going to be seeking God for our country and for revival here in Tucson and in the United States and worldwide, but specifically our nation. This goes right in line with the vision that I was given when I became senior pastor a few years ago. I had this, when Pastor Johnny came to me and told me that he was moving to Phoenix and wanted me to take over the church, I had this vision while I was praying about it, about the Holy Spirit just running rampant through our church. You know, just running wild. Not chaos, but revival. And freedom, like we sang about this morning. Exactly. It was an amazing vision, and I've been waiting for it to come to pass. And that goes directly in line with what we've been studying here. And hopefully, you know, this will also give us some momentum moving into this building. Hopefully, the timing looks like it's going to be about right, where we're going to be finishing this up right as we're getting into that building over there. So all the little bricks are falling into place here, what God has shown me in the past. So I'm really excited about this. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles, that's in the Old Testament, not Corinthians. A lot of people get those confused. But this is, we're going to be looking over the next 2 weeks at King Asa. He was a king of Judah. Back in the Old Testament. And there were, after Solomon was king over Israel, let's give you a little background here. After Solomon was king over Israel, his son, because of some of the things that Solomon did and didn't walk with God in his life, his son and a competitor basically split Israel into two parts. There was the northern part of the nation, which was still called Israel, and the southern part of the nation, which was called Judah. And so basically the nation of Israel was split at that time into Israel and Judah. And there were many kings that ruled over both parts, Israel and Judah, over the years. And most of those kings were evil and did not follow God. And so, basically, God ended up almost wiping them out, taking Israel, who had basically all evil kings, and Israel was taken off to slavery, and Judah was left, and eventually Judah got deported off into slavery too, because of their evilness. But the guy we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks, King Asa, he was one of the good kings of the southern part, Judah. This week we're going to look at the early part of his life, and next week we're going to look at the latter part of his life. And both will give us examples of what it means to follow God as a nation, or, like next week, the opposite of that, what it means to not follow God as a nation, and the responsibility of us as a church in this nation. That's what we're going to look at. We need to help steer our country in the right direction. There is no doubt in my mind that Satan has a hold on the United States right now. The devil is at work here. And it's scary, some of the things that are happening nowadays. You know, so our morals as a country are in the toilet. You know, our ethics are in the toilet. It's just obvious that the devil has a foothold here, and he doesn't have a foothold. He owns this nation, and it's up to us to fight back. It's up to us to take the battle to him and to try to take back some of this territory that he has taken. There's more and more acceptance in this country of things that God's word specifically calls sin. And it breaks my heart considering how our nation was founded. Our nation was founded by a group of people that were mostly believers. And the fact that we have come this far in the opposite direction, I know it breaks God's heart. And it breaks my heart. And if we're not careful, and I'm afraid that it's already happened, God's hand of blessing is going to be lifted. And I'm afraid it's already happened. As a nation and as individuals, God has given specific promises to us, right? Promises in His Word. Those are declarations. He's declared stuff to us. And we're going to take these 2 months to declare our dependence on Him. So let's look at a few of these declarations that He's given us for Himself. These are, a few months ago, I talked about the difference between unconditional promises and conditional promises. Do you remember that? When God speaks to us in His Word, some of the things He said to us are unconditional. They are true no matter what. And then there are other things that are conditional. If you do this, God's going to do this. You know, so these are some conditional promises that God has given us here in 2 Chronicles, in these three chapters that we're looking at, 14 through 16. First of all, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this: "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." If our hearts are fully committed to God, He's watching over us. He's looking for us, and He's going to strengthen us. He's going to give us strength. We are not alone. We're not alone in our battles. He knows your name, right? And then chapter 15, verse 2 says, "The Lord is with you when you are with Him." There's three promises in this verse. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. He doesn't leave. We do. When we feel separated from God, that's because we've walked away. He doesn't move. We do. Sometimes we go off and start living life on our own, doing our own thing. But He doesn't leave. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you're on the right track with God, He's there. If you're not on the right track with God, He's still there, but you're over here. The Lord's with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. You don't have to play hide and seek with God. You know, if you're looking for Him, He's going to let you find Him. You know, we did a series a couple years ago called God Chasers. You remember that? It's about chasing after God. And there was that illustration of a dad playing tag with his son in the backyard, right? And when your son is chasing you, if you're a dad, you're not going to run so fast that your son never catches you and he gets frustrated and quits. No, you're going to run just fast enough to make it fun, and you're going to let him tackle you, because that's what's fun about the game, you know? And it's the same way with God. If you're seeking Him, He's not going to hide from you. He's going to show Himself to you. He's going to let Himself be found. And then it finishes with a negative promise. If you forsake Him, He will forsake you. If you turn your back on God and walk away, you know, good luck. If you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And I'm afraid that us as a nation are in that position. You know, we've turned our back on the principles that this country was founded on. And we've turned our back on God as a nation. So we're going to take a look at King Asa's reign as king. We want to look at a few blessings of declared dependence. These are some of the things that Asa was doing in chapter 14 that were good. First of all, in chapter 14, verse 2, said, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And that's the first bullet point you can write down on your note sheet. Asa did what was good and right. Thank you. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. That's he lived a righteous life. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We've got to turn our back on sin. And we got to live the way God calls us to live. Asa did that. If we live our lives as a testament to His Word and the principles that He's laid down in His Word, then we're going to be blessed. His hand of blessing will be on our lives. And sometimes those decisions are hard. Sometimes it seems real easy to take the easy way out and do something unethical or immoral. Sometimes it sounds real easy to just quit on your marriage and walk away. Sometimes it sounds real easy to take that little financial shortcut that may not be ethical. But God's called us to righteousness, to live a holy life. So Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And then Asa commanded the people to seek the Lord and obey Him. Asa was the leader of his people. They were following him. In verse 4 it says, He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey His laws and commands. As their king, he basically told people, worship God. It was, you know, you can't do that nowadays, you know, with the freedom of religion and all that. You know, I wouldn't expect any of our leaders to do that. But he was encouraging his people to follow God. He was living by example. He was doing what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And he was encouraging his people to do the same. Our lives of following God can influence the people around us. And that's the first step towards changing our nation. Changing the mindset of our country, the culture of our country. It starts with you. Are you living right? And by living right, you then can influence the people around you to live right. And because Asa was living right and he was encouraging his people to live right, the third point is that God gave rest and prosperity to his people. God blessed them, gave them rest and prosperity. In verses 6 and 7, it says, He built up the fortified cities of Judah since the land was at peace. No one was at war with him during those years with Asa, for the Lord gave him rest. Let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. God blessed them. There are tangible rewards for faithfulness. God's hand of blessing will be on your life. But you've got to live right. Now, it doesn't mean that you're never going to have struggles. It doesn't mean you're never going to have battles. Not at all. In fact, that's the next thing in verses 10 and 11. In the face of battle, Asa declared his dependence on God. Battles are still going to come. In verses 10 and 11, Asa went out to meet him, this man that was attacking him, Zerah the Cushite. Let me back up to verse 9. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with a vast army and 300 chariots and came as far as Mareshah. So this giant army comes to attack Judah. And that's what happens sometimes in our life, right? We're living right. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then the attack comes. And it's something that looks so overwhelming. How are we ever going to survive this? Right? Have you been there? I have. This giant army comes out. Asa went out to meet him, and they took up battle positions in the valley of Zephathah near Mareshah. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you." When he faced adversity, he went to his knees and he cried out to God. And he said, "Deliver me. Help me." And because he was living right, because he was living a holy life, look what happened. God delivered his people with a mighty victory. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. They destroyed all the villages around Gerar, for the terror of the Lord had fallen on them. They looted all these villages since there was much plunder there. They also attacked the camps of the herders and carried off droves of sheep and goats and camels. And then they returned to Jerusalem. When we are faithful, so is he. If we're following God, doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life. The trials are going to come. The battles are going to come. But his hand of blessing will be there on your life, and you will have victory. Then in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, it goes through the golden years of King Asa's reign. He's relying on God. He's encouraging his people to rely on God. God's hand of blessing is on that nation. The whole country is following God. And God's blessing them. Next week we're going to look at chapter 16. Which somehow, and we don't know exactly how, Asa got off the right path. And he started relying on stuff instead of on God. And so we'll see what the consequences of that are. If you want to, this week, read through 2 Chronicles 14, 15, and 16. Just to kind of give you more detail into what I've been talking about this morning and where I'm going to be going next week. For this week, though, can you imagine what our country would look like if we were still following those principles that our founding fathers laid down for us? If we were still following God like when it was started? I don't know if you knew this, but 52 of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence called themselves Christians. 52 of the 56. That's amazing. They founded this nation on God and on His gospel, on His word. It's what this nation was found. It's on our money. And yet, people want to turn our back on that. People want us as a nation to turn our back on that. Patrick Henry, he was one of the ones who signed the Declaration of Independence. A lot of you know his famous phrase, right? Give me liberty or give me death. You guys recognize that? Yeah. But most of you probably haven't heard the whole paragraph, the whole phrase that he said. That was just part of it. Listen to this. An appeal to arms and the God of hosts is all that is left us. But we shall not fight our battle alone. There is a just God that presides over the destinies of nations. This was Patrick Henry. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Isn't that so much more powerful in context? Knowing that he was a Christian and that he didn't want to be chained down. He wanted freedom. In the following year, same guy, Patrick Henry, wrote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that reason alone, peoples of other faiths have been afforded freedom of worship here." This nation was founded on Jesus Christ. And we've walked away from that. Thomas Jefferson, President John Adams, John Hancock, Benjamin Franklin, 48 other names that you wouldn't recognize, all called themselves Christians and established this nation on the principles that are set forth in God's Word. And over time, as so often happens, it happened to King Asa, as we'll find out next week, our country has drifted away from those values, from those morals, from those ideals. And we've fallen away from God's grace. So our responsibility is to rise up. We've got to rise up and we've got to bring this nation back to God. We're going to do that through prayer. We're going to do that through our loving speech and actions, by the way we live. And we're going to do that through appeals to the leaders that are over us. We're going to pray for our leaders. God's placed these men and women in authority over us. And we've got to submit to them, but we've got to pray for them too. And we can have an influence on them and on the decisions that they make. All is not lost. But this country needs to get itself turned around right quick before it's too late. So watch how you live. Live right and be an influence to others. That's where it starts. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this country that you've given us to live in, Lord. The freedom that we have here to worship you. Lord, I cry out to you on behalf of our nation. We've walked away from you. We've abandoned the values and the ethics and the morals that you set forth in your word. Lord, forgive us for that. Don't take your hand of blessing from us, Father. Help us to turn around as a nation and find you again. Because you haven't moved, we have. Help us, Father, to find you. And I pray for each man and woman in this room, Lord, that you would bless them. Let your hand of blessing be on their lives. And the trials that they face, the struggles, the battles that they face every day, Lord, I pray that your hand would be there, giving them victory. Lord, I claim victory in every one of those circumstances, every situation, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During this last song, we're going to have our prayer teams available over here to your left. If you want to bring any of those situations that you're facing, come in and be prayed with someone who's a prayer warrior, knows what you're going through.